Yep. All right, members, let's go ahead and get Senate Finance and Claims started this morning. Prudence, would you please take the roll?
Vice Chair Cuff.
Here.
Vice Chair Ellis. Senator Ankeny.
Excused.
Senator Wagner. Senator Boldman. Looks like she's here.
I'm here.
Senator Flowers.
Here.
Senator Glimm.
Excused.
Senator Howard.
Here.
Senator Jacobson.
Excused.
Excused.
Senator Kerry.
Here.
Senator Keenan.
We're here.
Senator Lang. Senator Lynch.
Here.
Senator McNally.
Here.
Senator Morjo.
Here. He's here.
Senator Salomon.
Here.
Senator Smith.
Excused.
Senator Wellborn.
Here.
Chair Osmundson.
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you.
And Senator Ankeny is here as well. All right, members. Those of us that are here, we're going to have to pause for just a second. We got to run down a couple sponsors. So let's take 5 minutes and see if I can go find a couple. Can you find them? Thank you, Jeff. All right, well then let's go ahead and open the hearing on Senate Bill 297. Senator Ellsworth.
I guess there is no, it's on, there we go. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jason Ellsworth, that's E-L-L-S-W-O-R-T-H. I represent Senate District 43, which is the southern half of Ravalli County. For your pleasure today, Senate Bill 297, which is another fiber bill. Everybody knows I love fiber. What it essentially does is it's a catch-all. So there's approximately, and we're guessing at this point, anywhere from $100 to potentially $300 million coming from the feds down our way. And this is the vessel that has to be there to catch it. So in order for us to qualify for these funds, we actually have to have a broadband infrastructure plan. And that's what this bill does, is it's a broadband infrastructure plan. We've got a lot of the key players involved to outline it and draw it out. There is a $2 million transfer from the general fund into this to start this. Been talking to the governor's office, and at some point, and it will probably may happen in, actually, in the House side, and maybe strip that out because we don't necessarily, I think, need that money in there. But it is the vessel to catch all. Mr. Chair, I'll sit down for proponents and opponents.
Thank you, Senator. Other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jeff Feiss, F-E-I-S-S. General Manager of the Montana Telecommunications Association, representing rural broadband providers across the state, serving about 70% of the land mass, but we have an average population density of less than 3 households per square mile. It costs a lot of money to deploy broadband. I want to thank all of you for supporting Senate Bill 297 on the floor, passed on a 49-1 vote. We're here to talk about the fiscal note, and as Senator Ellsworth mentioned, it has a $2 million transfer from the general fund. And while that may be stripped out, I'm one of those who says all hands on deck. We can use all of the resources available. Several states are appropriating. Utah's got $55 million, Idaho $35 million, Wisconsin $200 million. These are all in state plans, notwithstanding what's coming down from the feds. However, as Senator Ellsworth pointed out, what we really need is a structure by which we receive funds, whether they're state or federal or both, and allocate them to unserved areas. This bill does that. So even with no funding, we should have a mechanism by which we can determine where to send broadband dollars. I don't think we need to belabor the point of how much broadband has become a key infrastructure issue, especially given the pandemic. So we urge that the committee pass this bill and get it moving along, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, John Sanju, here representing Big Sky EDA out of Billings. Certainly support SB 297. As you might have heard, Montana is near last in connectivity, so any steps making more investments in the broadband is critical. We certainly support the $2 million, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Shane Scanlon, last name S-C-A-N-L-O-N. And on behalf of Charter and AT&T, we rise in support of Senate Bill 297. I was also asked to provide support on behalf of Verizon. Very simply, we would just ask that regardless of what happens to the money already allocated in the bill, that the bill remain intact and alive, as it does provide the framework to receive federal funds to expand broadband services across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none in the room, seeing none online, do we have any opponents? Seeing no opponents here or online, do we have any informational witnesses? Seeing none here or online, questions from the committee? Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're all going to be in agreement about the need for the fund. I think when the time comes, I guess I'm curious when the time will come that we'll have the discussion on the $2 million.
Senator Solomon, we could have the discussion here and now and remove it, or we can give it to the House and let them remove it at that point in time. I think it's the sponsor brought it up. The sponsor, I'll let the sponsor talk about it if you'd like to.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Solomon, at this point, I think we leave it in there. We're past the point of general bills, and I would hate to see for somehow that this, if we did that stripping at this point, how that might affect the bill. I'm sure the governor is going to be coming in and weighing in on the House side as this progresses. So I would encourage you to actually leave it on there at this point. Thank you.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor, please.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis.
Senator. The first question, I was trying to figure out how this worked, and because I didn't understand it quite reading the bill. And the first question I had was on page 2, lines 16 through 17. It basically restricts the grant program. It says, subject to appropriations from the general fund revenue or from bonds issued by the department. So those are the only two sources of funds. Are you assuming that this federal money will come to the general fund and then there'll be the general fund will get obligated? Is that the mechanism?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, so what we're anticipating, and again, we're kind of waiting to see how the federal level and how this kicks down. So it may have to be amended. And I've spoken to the governor about this personally. We are looking at a grant program. The unknown at this point is, you know, how do we allocate those funds? What are going to be the sidebars for those funds? So that bill just recently passed from good old Uncle Joe. So it's I think it's going to take a week or two to actually get that information on how it does need to be sidebarred, and then it could be a grant program. We may have to amend this as it goes through the process. But again, we have to have a vessel. So if we don't have a broadband infrastructure program in place when these funds become available, then we would not, my understanding is we would not be able to accept these federal funds. So this is the starting point, the launching point. And I would imagine it's going to get amended throughout the course of how we have to put those funds out there. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it does. What I'm hearing from you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that this restriction in this particular section may have to be expanded or changed in some way, because I noticed later it allows the governor to accept federal funds. So it just made it was confusing to me how this gets implemented.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, it is a little bit confusing because we've had to put different language in there to potentially accommodate how these funds come in. So if these funds come in, and we've allowed them to come in federally, and we've put that in the bill. If they require a grant program to be established, then we have that in the bill. So we have what we think are all the necessary components of accepting it. And then we will then, you know, narrow that down to fit within the federal guidelines, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, follow up. Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellsworth, the second question I had was, I was a little confused by the rulemaking authority that's offered, and I find this on page 6, and I'm looking at lines 24 through 28. Basically, this is my concern, and I'll just ask you to react to it. The rules prohibit third-party audits, a letter of credit being part of it, financial penalties, or damages provisions, etc. What I'm curious about, if we give out these grants and somebody doesn't do the work, and the rules can't have penalties, I'm just confused why that language is in there.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, again, I think we're trying to do a catch-all here. So we've also, you know, if you read the entire bill, it goes into, you know, specifically into rule, and we may even have to tweak that a little bit too. And again, you know, we tried to do a catch-all in this bill. So as the rules are brought down to us, this bill is going to manifest itself into, you know, what the sidebars are from the government. So I think in this bill, if you read like it can't, you can't have already had accepted federal funds for that program. So we like put that in there so that we're not kind of double paying somebody to do the same job. So it is, I would say, a somewhat dynamic bill, but the vessel is the key behind all of this. So again, you know, the policy side will have to be worked out. But, and I believe it's everybody's intent, you know, in this body that, you know, with those kind of funds coming federally and how and where we're at as a state, this is an absolute necessity. So getting stuck on specific language at this point, I think would be problematic. Obviously, as you know, something would get amended, it would come back to the Senate to concur those amendments in. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, one more follow-up, please. Mr. Chair, Senator Ellsworth, so maybe I'm reading something in that you are not intending, but I want to know that. If a grant is given out, I understand this is a vessel, and it's going to change. I heard you loud and clear on that. But if a corporation gets a grant and they don't do the work, or they get a grant and they only do a little bit of the work, but they have a ton of money left, so they're going to make a big profit, would you agree or not agree that there should be a penalty involved for that kind of action?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, if anybody received a grant to complete a project and they did not complete the project according to the grant, then yes, I would expect them to not receive their money, period. Or maybe on a pro rata basis, but usually these companies that we're dealing with, you know, the grant process is put in place where potentially they may get a small amount up front to start the project, and then as the project is completed, I think that's how most of our grant programs work. They don't get everything up front and we go, we'll wait for the finished product. They may get certain pieces as it goes along. So I do understand your concern speaking about that specific language. But no, it would not be legislative intent to pay anyone for something they did not complete. So I would like to be clear with that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Ellsworth, Senator Ellsworth.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ellsworth, just can you walk us through a little bit, I guess it'd be new Section 7 and a couple pages in. I guess I'm on the top of page 6, where really we talk about kind of mapping. And can you kind of explain to us what your thought process or what your intent was there? I know that certainly we've had conversations about mapping with respect to broadband and really the trade secrets that incorporates. And so I guess I'm kind of curious how you see this actually playing out when we do try to get complete mapping and make sure that the grants are going to underserved areas. If you could kind of walk us through the intent there.
Mr. Chair and Senator Lynch, thank you for the question. So there's actually been money awarded federally to the federal government to what they call create shape files. And a shape file is essentially a file that you would overlay on a map. And you can see where you have service and at to potentially what level you even have that service to. So that's a program that's currently in process now and that's already been funded by the federal government. And they're doing this for the entire United States. So the intent behind this and is to be able to utilize those shape files so that we know we're going to places that are unserved or underserved. and kind of more into what we, I guess, have always talked about as more rural, but certainly the unserved and underserved. I hope that answers your question.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ellsworth, I appreciate that. And I guess I'm kind of curious, as new technologies come online, and I know that, you know, there's some disagreement within the industry about whether Starlink should have gotten funding or not, and really the wireless, how will that overlay over the kind of the mapping and the shapefile conversation we're having about mapping? And I guess what did that come up during the conversation? What does that look like going forward?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Lynch, so the Starlink program is an interesting program, and I've done a little bit of research on it. And actually, I utilize the service myself. So Starlink will serve, when it's fully deployed, approximately 52,000 customers in this state. It's not meant to be a replacement. It is meant to be a tool for, you know, service. What's interesting too about Starlink is it does, at the end of the day, end up on, you know, the backbone of the fiber network. That's what's connecting, you know, all of our land-based, you know, systems. So Starlink will play a role in this, I would imagine, at some point. I know there's, and I'm a beta tester for it, so I know there's certain parts of the state that you cannot be a beta tester because they don't have the available satellites. It's a great program. I think it's something that's going to really help us. I don't necessarily agree with the amount of money that they received that was allocated to Montana. I think it was $800 million that was allocated, and they received, I don't have the exact numbers, but something like $720 million, it was, you know, disproportionate. But yeah, I think we're going to be, and the federal government will be looking at where those areas cover too, but that is an assumption on my part.
As long as we're not getting into the policy weeds, Senator Lynch. Certainly, it's with respect to the grants that may be issued, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I guess I'm kind of curious, is, you know, if we have a local provider here that can provide grants into a specific area of the state, would kind of the veto process, or the ability for one of the providers to challenge a different provider that's outlined here, would they be able to challenge a different technology, a wireless technology such as a Starlink? I guess that's kind of the question. I understand what you're trying to do and make sure that we don't duplicate services so that we get, you know, wire to everybody's house or fiber to everybody's house. And so I guess I'm curious if the two technologies can coexist or if they're competing in and of themselves, and if you can split that conversation with the way that this is currently written.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Lynch, first off, Starlink's not built out completely at this point. I think part of the conversation will be, you know, how long is it going to take them to build out? Where are they actually going to build out to? What time frame that's going to happen? And again, if you look at the title of this bill, and we all know everything comes down to the title, right? And then that's kind of where we go from there, where things can be amended. So it's a bill for an act enabled, an act providing for broadband infrastructure deployment laws establishing the Montana Broadband Infrastructure Account. So that is the heart of the bill. The meat and the guts of it that follow through, again, as you know, we progress this legislation forward, some of those policy questions that you're bringing up are very material and should be discussed and will be discussed.
One question, changing topics, Mr. Chair.
Is this on the money?
It is on the money.
Okay, Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ellsworth, I guess I wanted to make sure I could get your commitment that you'd be okay with a friendly amendment for prevailing wage and some residence requirements for folks that may be working on these grant projects.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lynch, at this point, I am not prepared for any amendment on this bill because, first, this is the vessel to accept federal funds. I think we're going to have to stay within the framework of what we're required to do at that point. And, you know, it very well may be that prevailing wage is a requirement that fits in there. Maybe that's not. So I certainly, now we're getting into the policy weeds. So I appreciate your thoughts and we'll take them into consideration. But no, I would not consider that a friendly amendment to something that may stop up to $300 million coming to the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Ellsworth. I appreciate that. I just want to make sure that we are honoring the governor's comeback plan and creating those high-wage jobs for folks. So I look forward to partnering with you on that.
Wonderful.
Senator Keenan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, just a little housekeeping here. Has this bill had a policy hearing?
I believe it has.
It has?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, it has.
It's actually crossed the floor.
It's been read. Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay. Question for Mr. Feist, please.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keenan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Feist, you mentioned some other states. Wisconsin caught my ear. I don't remember the other states. So I'm just curious as to why there would be so much discussion about the possible evolution of this bill with amendments in the House concurring with them and all of that. If other states are in the same position, perhaps, that we are, but maybe I'm making an assumption there hasn't been any distribution of federal money, do the other states have a template? Are they still working on that as well, or is there another state that has a template that we can use?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keenan, thanks for the question. There's about 35 states, at least, that have broadband programs and their broadband grant programs with varying degrees of money allocated. This legislation, we didn't just create it out of the air. We modeled it after mostly Colorado's, which is a successful program that is allocating funds to rural and unserved areas right now. I can't remember how many millions they have in their pot, but this is, you know, all these states share information, and this is based on a number of elements that are common among many states. Does that answer the question?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Price, I think so. So I think you know you can understand where I'm going. So I'm assuming that there has been some distribution of federal money to other states and they're well underway?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keenan, there was, from the federal allocation appropriations, there was the CARES Act money, and I can't remember which one of the COVID bills that was, COVID 3 or so, and that money was allocated to states and required to have been allocated. I think the CARES Act came out in, I'm going to say, June, July-ish, and it had a stipulation that states had to allocate the money by December of 2020. So that didn't give states a whole lot of time, and those states that had programs were able to allocate that money more effectively than those that didn't. Montana didn't have a program, and we didn't accept any of the CARES Act money for broadband.
Mr. Chairman, follow up, please.
Continue.
Mr. Feist, so are there CFDA numbers associated with the grants in other states then?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keenan, I'm not familiar with that acronym.
CFDA is Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance, and those are the guidelines for every federal grant that comes down. So I'm assuming if these are, in fact, federal grants, that it would have, and you can get back to me, but I assume the other states would have a CFDA number, and we would be under the guidelines of those CFDA numbers, which just outline what the grants can be used for.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keenan, I don't First, I'll get back to you. I don't know the answer to that, but I don't think it's a federal grant program. The CARES Act money and the way the whatever it is, the recovery, the bill that was just passed by the House and will be signed by the president, those are allocations, appropriations to the states for the states to use. The CARES Act was pretty much the same. So it's not like a federal grant where you have to go apply to a federal agency for a grant. So those rules may not apply, but I'm just guessing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Feiss.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, sponsor would like to close.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, unfortunately, you know, this bill should have been 2 years ago. We missed out on an opportunity to actually capture some funds, and that's disappointing. With the amount of money that we're looking at going into this new program, that, you know, and understanding that we're last or near last for broadband deployment, I certainly would not want to miss out on that opportunity. If you do read the guts of the bill, I think the vast majority of those guts are going to stay there. We may have to do some tweaking, and that's just reality of until we find out exactly what those rules are. But again, you know, I was talking to the governor about this a couple of nights ago. This is an exciting time for the state of Montana and a real opportunity for us to actually deploy and get to some of these kind of harder places that we have a hard time getting access to. And it's essential for our economy. So with that, I respectfully ask for a due pass, Mr. Chair.
This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 297. We're going to open the hearing on Senate Bill 335. Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gordy Vance, Senate District 34, which is in Gallant County. I bring you Senate Bill 335 today, which has a zero fiscal note. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Vance. Members, just for the housekeeping, this has crossed the floor. We were waiting for a fiscal note. That's why it got referred here on that one long day we had. Are there proponents for Senate Bill 335 on the fiscal note? Seeing none in the room, and I do not see any online. Do we have any opponents? Seeing none online. I see one informational witness online. Catherine, could you please admit McNaughton? Ms. McNaughton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jamie McNaughton. That's J-A-I-M-E-M-A-C, capital N-A-U-G-H-T-O-N. I'm just here informational as it goes to the commissioner's office. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other informational, do we have questions from the committee? Seeing none, sponsor would like to close.
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry. Senator Ellis didn't see your hand.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for you, actually.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, you indicated that we need a fiscal note on this. Do you know if that fiscal note is going to contain the amount of taxpayer money that this bill saved? I know that this money went to election offices, a dispute. I was in the policy committee that discussed this bill, and I understand we're supposed to just talk about the fiscal note. But there was a savings of taxpayer dollars, and I just want to make sure that that is part of the fiscal note. Do you know when we're going to get it?
Senator Ellis, we have the fiscal note. Do you have it? Is it posted?
I probably don't have it then.
Mr. Chairman, it's posted online on the law system.
I will get it. Thank you.
Okay. And Senator Ellis, it is it's a zero fiscal note for general fund. You're welcome to read it, but it's a zero fiscal note.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, sponsor like to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I ask for a due pass.
This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 335. We're going to open the hearing on Senate Bill 370. And this, again, has been heard in, I believe, Judiciary. And it was pending a fiscal note. We now have that. And, Chris, I believe, is that fiscal note posted online as well?
Mr. Chairman, I believe so, yes.
Okay. Senator Ellsworth, would you like to open on Senate Bill 370?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have before you Senate Bill 370. There is no fiscal note. So I will wait for opponents and proponents, and then be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ellsworth. Are there proponents? Seeing none in the room and none online, do we have opponents in the room? I am not seeing any in the room. Catherine, is there one online?
Mr. Chair, we do not have anybody online.
Okay. And I don't believe we have anybody informational in the room or online. So questions, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure who to direct my question to, but the fiscal note indicates, and maybe you can help me, and maybe it's you that can help figure out, the fiscal note says general fund impact cannot be determined. How do we assess a fiscal note with, we have no idea what the impact is going to be whatsoever. I mean, not a ballpark or anything, and I'm a little confused.
Senator Ellis, that's correct. We see these fiscal notes every now and then when it is on a topic that is of something that cannot be determined. I guess that's what the fiscal note says in the expenditures on the general fund, because you're talking about a state of emergency. So, and you're talking about something that cannot be my crystal ball is still in the shop, so I can't see the future. So nobody knows what may happen and how someone may respond to it. So that's why the fiscal note is what it is, I believe. It's extremely undeterminable. And again, the reason we are here with this is because it was flagged as needing a fiscal note. The fiscal note did show up, and obviously, as you're pointing out, it's vague at best. And I think it's vague at best because you're talking about future events that may or may not happen, and they're completely could be an act of God for all we know. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I guess it's
good. There's no good answer, Senator Ellis, I'll be honest. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question, follow up on that. I mean, under a normal course of events, we normally would not have seen this referred had it not been short on time. And
that's correct.
The additional rules.
That's correct. Thank you. Senator Lynch, you would have seen this if things had been moving smoothly a couple weeks ago. We'd had this fiscal note. It would have shown up on the floor, and this would have moved on and not shown up here. But because we did not have the fiscal note, it got referred here because of this. So, further questions? Seeing none. Senator Ellsworth.
Madam Chair. Members of the committee, respectfully, there is no fiscal impact. If you read the bill, it just has to do with upholding our constitutional rights. So I guess the only fiscal impact would be if for some reason the government did not allow us our constitutional rights. So... and I would not anticipate that to be the case, but who knows? So respectfully ask for a due pass, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ellsworth. This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 370. All right, members, so my plan is on Well, tomorrow morning, we will do executive action on Senate Bill 297, which we just heard, Senate Bill 335, and Senate Bill 370. In addition to that, I would like to do House Bill 13, the pay plan, which we heard long ago. I was holding some of these House bills, didn't want to take up time prior to transmittal. Since we're now past that, I'd like to go ahead and get that done. Yes, and I believe we have about three bills tomorrow. Is that correct, Chris? Four.
Mr. Chairman, we have four bills tomorrow.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat those numbers again for EA tomorrow?
297, Senate Bill 297, which we just heard, Senate Bill 335, which we just heard, and Senate Bill 370, as well as House Bill 13.
Thank you.
9 o'clock tomorrow. Okay. Anything else to come before the committee? If not, we'll see you at 9. We're adjourned. Thank you.